I think, yeah, like Rotorua in New Zealand, we're at the final round of the 15th World Water Ski Racing Championships, and it's been great to see a couple of names from the past come along to watch this event. I'm sitting here right now with a chap from Australia who actually invented rapping, Terry Bennett. Great to see you.
Hi, thanks, Rory.
Terry, you know, there's a lot of skiers out there. We're all rapping up these days, and, you know, we all take it for granted, this rapping. Tell us how you came across rapping, how it all came about, how it all started.
Well, in the early days, we were watching people were skiing around Chica Courtney, using a bar and all that sort of stuff. My background was soccer. I came out of soccer to go water skiing and found out that I had plenty of legs but no arms. And also in a race on Botany Bay in the 60s, I'd fallen off and hurt my back. So to make the comeback and to keep ski racing, going through smooth water, I decided that I could pull the handles behind me and take that wrapped position, as they call it, and continue skiing until we got some rough water, got off the handles and rode through that, wrapped up again. Naturally, my partner, who at that time was Bob Tilling with Cha-Cha, he had to wrap up also because he was falling behind me. So from there, we went further and further. Line Island Ski Race, 1961, I think, was the first big race that we'd won. And that was when people start to pay attention to, if he's doing that, must be something to it.
So this is back in 1961, is that right, Terry?
1961, yeah.
And then I know that, you know, you won an awful lot of races around Australia. Tell people, listen, what you actually achieved in those days.
Well, Cha-Cha team ran the Line Island race, and the first race that we went on Sackville on the Hawkesbury River, I won that, so I got the taste for water ski racing as such. And then the sport started to grow to different waterways. We're starting to, you know, what's this water ski racing? So we just followed Proud and Jindabyne, Eugenbeen, all these places that had smooth water and people would go ski racing. And I adopted the position of, why do the work? Well, I can sit on the back and they can do all the work fixing the boat and I just go along for the ride. Sometimes it didn't work like that, but that's where it all started. Eugenbeen, Jindabyne, Hawkesbury River, the bridge to bridge was going back in the 57s, and Jelly Knight Jack Murray was the instigator of that. So then we just didn't, Cha-Cha crew split up, the Tilling family went their separate ways, and I teamed up with Peter Ward behind Thunderbolt. And Thunderbolt, we won every race. 1 year there we won 18 races. It was 18 races on the calendar, we won 16. But funny part of it is I never did win a bridge to bridge.
Okay, well, an amazing achievement, Terry. I know, you know, you did your racing in Australia and you kept doing that for many years. Then you went over to the USA and you were telling me just the other night that you were racing against, of course, the great Chuck Stearns. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Chuck Stearns. I went in this race and I was pole 12 and Stearns, he was pole 2. And we went out in this race, and by the end of the line, I'm coming down to the finish line, and Chuck Stearns beat me by a little bit. But later on, he talks to Freddie Williams, and he says, Freddie, where's that bloody Aussie bloke? Where did he come from? So that was my, you know, one and only encounter with Chuck Stearns, because he was quitting then, and but it was a great honour to have Chuck Stearns worried about me. And from there, we went to another race up in above Los Angeles, won a race up there, and so I was the first Aussie to win in the States, and that was good fun. And once again, that came about in a funny situation. I was an old man now, I was 30, and so I took these kids, Wayne Jones, all those top skiers, over there, and we all had Fred Williams skinny racing skis, as we called them, with the loose back foot. And then I was watching all the guys go right earlier before my race turn was to come. They're all getting wiped out, mass starts and all the stuff we weren't used to, getting wiped out, and they come back and say, no way, no more buddy water ski racing. Forget that, these guys are dumb. So we went from there, so I'm looking at these guys getting wiped out on these corners, 12 mass starts and going down the straightaway and round a corner and little skis not coming out of the corner. So I turned around and looked at a Murdoch, so I said, geez, my turn's coming up, I better try it. So I talked to the guy, he lent me the Murdoch and I strapped it on, both feet locked in, good heavens above, you know. So naturally, deep water start and beach starts as we were used to in Australia, and I come out of the water, last, real slow, last, and I said, oh, this is all right. I looked down at the ski, and so I waved up, and I'm waving up to the stage where the driver finished up turning around and saying, what's this guy doing? And I was last, and then I was 11th, and I was 10th, and at the end of the day, I came through to and put my nose in front and be the first Australian to win in America. And the Murdoch screen number 74, which I purchased on the day and still own, second hand it was. And all the guys went and grabbed Murdochs or locked on, and they all started to win races.
Okay, and so that's the American. So we talked about you're racing in Australia, you're racing in America, and I know you did a lot in bringing on great names like Robbie Woods and Wayne Jones, and then you had a lot to do with names like Danny Battelle's and of course the Coes from England. Tell us about what your connections.
Well, a lot of skiers before we, as the American thing continued, Paul McManus was on the scene. Paul McManus was the greatest ski racer that we ever had, and he went to America to win a nationals, so, and lived there. Then Robbie Woods went and lived there. He won a nationals. Rory Brown followed, and so over the years, that's what happened. But the actual, to go to Europe, that started by me talking to somebody. Sausage and Foods sponsored me to chew sausage and food on the Hawkesbury River for a world record attempt. So we skied on the Hawkesbury River for, actually Peter Ward and I skied on that river first of all to set a world record, which still stands today of two people, but nobody knows, they've forgotten about that. We skied for 11 hours and 440 something miles, and the boat broke. So the next year we went back and did it again, Peter Ward and myself. Peter hit a sandbank, and I missed the sandbank and skied around it, skied for 12 and a quarter hours, 538 miles.
And where was it? Where did the race start?
Hawkesbury on the Hawkesbury River, which was from Sackville, a 16-mile chartered course with a world judge, Alan Clark, sitting in the boat to make it official. And then, so that's a 16 miles course, 16 mile, whatever that in kilometres, all day. And that's how we got the world record, which then interested me in somebody in doing something. And I was having a drink with Evinrude Motors launching pad in Punchbowl, and talked about a race in Italy called the Adriatic Crossing, Adriatic. So I said, okay, what's all that about?
When was this, Terry?
I didn't start to talk about it. It was 68, and we went in 1970, and I met famous Bruno Cassa, who was a great guy and a great friend, father of Carlo Cassa of later years. And Bruno was a world snow skiing Olympian. And went water skiing, and so that area, we went to Ravenna on the east coast of Italy to ski across the Adriatic Sea, and Pola Servia, Pula in Yugoslavia, and we ski raced across to Servia in Italy.
Going back a fair few years now to the beginning of water ski racing in Australia, Terry.
Water ski racing in Australia, as we recapped earlier, ran through from, my involvement was from say 61 onwards, Long Island ski race, and then we went on to different opportunities, which included skiing on the Hawkesbury River for a long time just to get a world record, which allowed us to ask sponsors to look after us to go to Europe for the Adriatic, Pola Servia they called it, and that was the Adriatic crossing from Yugoslavia in those days, which is now Croatia, to Italy, which was Servia in Italy, and that's what we set out to do and did, and that was quite an experience, and it led to a lot of other Australian guys taking off, which I helped organise to get over there. Wayne Harris, Jones, lots of guys that we went over there and we did it again, so it was quite an exciting time.
So that was they were kind of the early days then, and I know you went over to Europe and you got together with Bruno Cassa, of course father of the great Carlo Cassa now, and you were involved with the Battelle's from Belgium, the Coes from England, so you were involved with all the big names from all over Europe.
Yeah, they were the kids coming through. I mean, Bruno was up there already. And he was the guy that virtually had organised or had raced Pola Servia, the Adriatic crossing. Then also we stopped off in Belgium, and I was fortunate enough to ski and win a race on the canals in Belgium. We'd gone to Cirencester to race up there and find out what the English racing was about, and they were all looking at what we call the early days of the wrap, and so it was very exciting, and also the opportunity to get sponsors, which came from our world record run on the Hawkesbury, which gave us the Honeywells and the Amoco oil companies and Evinrude people, that Pan American Airways that sponsored us, no money in those days naturally, but things were done for you, so it was quite an adventure to get to the Adriatic. And we started off in Belgium, that's where we skied there, then went overland into Italy, and by boat we went across to Yugoslavia and started from a place called Pula, which was just downstream from Tito's palace, who was the master of Yugoslavia in those days, and it was quite exciting, even to see the Italian's face go white when we realised we were in Tito's palace. You know, so it was very scary times, but fun times, you know.
I know that, you know, Danny Patel's and the Coes, they came over to Australia and, you know, you helped them explore what was happening in Australia. Tell us about those times.
Yeah, well, there's so many guys at ski racing. Even today, we saw Ted Helfman out there who stayed at our house. So many guys stayed at our house, you know, and Danny Patel's, they came over, and the actual organising of these guys and meeting them over there, because they were kids coming through, and I was an older skier by that time, and it was good to talk to them, to get them to think about skiing overseas. And the Coes, Andy and Stephen Coe, Malcolm Coe is still a young, very good friend of mine. Coe family were great after us in the UK. We just got a camaraderie going that remains to this day.
Terry, you know, coming back to present day, I know you, you watched the fourth and final round of these 15th World Championships today with us. What are your thoughts on those men, those women, those juniors that were out there today?
Well, all of there's naturals, and that's what you see out there, coming from somewhere to somewhere, from nowhere to somewhere. And just the ability, backed by the intense training that they have to do today. As I said earlier, they had a lifetime of soccer to carry their legs through. And when you see what guys do today to train, they've just got to stay supremely fit. But the first 30 minutes of that men's open today was just incredible to watch those three guys go neck for neck for that period of time. And then even to run the hour and plus a lap to watch it spun out. But just those three guys to do that, that's tough work. A different story, different skis, different way you run the race. Talking to Danny Cropper today. Actually, that little incident today, we were talking about the wrap. And across the conversation, Danny Cropper, who's sitting opposite me, he said, "I was the first kid to come up wrapped." And we never realised that we always wrapped, come up and wrapped. And Danny Cropper laid claim today, which I now remember. There was this young kid that came up wrapped, and because the wrapping took a long time and took that, he had to catch up. Danny Cropper came up wrapped, and away he went and became a, you know, did all the things he did. And the skis and the equipment and all the stuff's just so much better. But it's a tough sport.
Terry Bennett, it's been a pleasure to spend some time with you, to chat with you, to watch you here, you know, observing what's going on in 2007. You're a legend in our sport. Thank you very much for your time, and great to see you.
Okay, it's been a pleasure, and I just hope that the words are taken in the right context and spread some joy.